This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, this is Healing Sunday. Praise God. And I love preaching on healing because the devil's going to attack us in three areas. Okay, as Christians, you're going to be attacked sometime in your life in three areas. Are you ready for these three areas? You can write these down if you like or just take mental notes. The devil wants to attack you in your relationships. And if he can get your relationships off kilter, if he can get you upset, angry with other people and your family, your in-laws, your outlaws, he's going to shut down your health. Is that right? We're going to have to look at your neighbor and say, walk in love. And then number two, the devil likes to attack in our finances. Has anybody ever been attacked in here in your finances? And so the devil likes to try to work in our finances, but God is greater. Can somebody say God's greater? And no matter what deficit we may be dealing with, God can bring restoration into it. You believe that today? And then the devil likes to work on our health. Amen. And so you got to get this understanding as people of God that the devil's working actively against us. But thank God there's a greater God, and greater is He, the Lord Jesus, that's in us than he that's in the world that's trying to take us down. And you have the greater one in you. You have more victory in you than the defeat that the devil can throw at you. Yes, Lord. You believe that today? Yes. Somebody say, I'm victorious in Christ. No matter what you're dealing with, you're victorious. So I'm going to give you some healing faith truth this morning. Truths, and each one of these truths that I'm going to talk about, it could be a particular truth that you might be missing. That you might be dealing, maybe you might be dealing with some health issues, and maybe you just need one particular truth to lock in on. It might just be one. It may not be all 12 of them that I have today, and if we get through it, but it might be just one truth. One word from God can change your life. One perspective change. And so it could be just one truth that you might need to hone on. Or hone into to walk in at the fullness of your healing. Amen. And so my prayer and my belief for this church is that none of you will deal with any kind of sickness in your life. I do go to the hospital, but I don't want to be visiting you in the hospital. Amen. And I want to rather pray for you and help you stand on the word of God so you don't have to go to the hospital. Amen. And I like this, and the first key or the first healing truth that you need to stand on is that you need to make the Word of God your final authority in your life. Somebody say, make the Word of God your final authority. Or you could say this, put the Word of God first place. Put the Word of God first place. What is dominating our thinking? What dominates our thinking can be the doctor's report at times. What the doctors say to us can put a place in our thinking that we think about that report that he gives us. And we start thinking, and a lot of times we think the doctor's report is the final authority. Sometimes we think that, and sometimes people think, well, if the doctor says so, then it must be so. Just because the doctor says something and just because the report says something doesn't mean that's the final report. Doesn't mean that that's the report you have to go with. And so a lot of people in the natural and people that don't understand and even Christians believe, well, the doctor's report, that's the final say-so. No, God has the final say-so in our lives, and the doctor's report is not the final say-so. I like that song. It says, whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord. Amen. And so we have to believe the report of the Lord. So we have to, when we're dealing with our life, we have to filter everything with the Word of God. So whatever report you get, whatever thoughts come into your thinking, are you filtering? Is the Word of God the foundational truth that you're standing on? Is it your final authority? And so we must make it our final authority. I like what it says in Matthew 4:4. It says, but, and this is Jesus, and Jesus was at the in the wilderness at this time. He was fasting. So he was in his wilderness. And you could say if you're dealing with any kind of sickness or shortfall in your life, you might be in a wilderness. But I'm going to say this. Jesus walked through his wilderness into the promised land or the power of the Spirit. And you are walking through your wilderness and you're getting into your promised land. You believe that today? And he says this in Matthew 4:4, he says, but he answered and said, because the devil said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. So what Jesus was saying is that we don't live our life by natural sustenance. We don't live our life by that. We live our life by the Word of God. Now, natural sustenance, we need food to live. Don't get me wrong. But we really need the Word of God to really live. I'm going to say again, you need the Word of God to really live. It's not just going to be food that's going to get it through to us. It's going to be the Word of God. Amen. And so I love that. So it's not the natural that we need to be leaning on. As Christians, we lean on the supernatural. Somebody say the supernatural. And the Word of God has the power in it. It has the power to heal and deliver whatever is ailing us. Do you believe that? Do you believe the Word of God is powerful? I believe the Word of God is powerful. And so that's the reason why we need to be in the Word of God every day. Not just Sunday mornings, but we need to be living in the Word of God. Amen? And I love that. In John 6:63, Jesus is speaking here. And he says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Notice that Spirit gives life. God's Word gives life to our flesh. And he says here, the flesh profits nothing. So what am I saying here? What Jesus is saying is sometimes our natural thinking, how we think about things, especially when we're thinking about our pains and our aches and our the things that the doctor says that we have, that will not amount to too much in the spiritual realm. You got to think about the Word of God. You got to allow the Word of God to take preeminence over the natural thinking, glory to God. And so he's saying the flesh profits nothing, but the Spirit and the Spirit Word will give you life. Do you believe that today? So you could say the Word of God is the Word is likened to a sword. Okay? And what does a sword do? It can cut. Amen? So the Word of God is likened to a sword. You could say sword, S-W-O-R-D. That S stands for Spirit Word. Amen? Sword, glory to God, Spirit Word. And that Spirit Word can cut off every negative thing that we're dealing with in our lives. You believe that today? I believe that. And so sometimes the circumstances, sometimes what we are dealing with in our physical bodies can seem more real than the Word of God. Am I talking to anybody today? Sometimes the pain that we're dealing with, I'm going somewhere this morning. Sometimes that can speak louder. Does your pain ever speak louder than the Word of God? At times it can speak louder. But you're going to have to get louder than the pain. In other words, you're going to have to get vocal in your Word and speaking it over the loudness of the symptoms that's screaming out, pain, pain. Have you been there? But you got to speak the Word of God over the pain. Amen. You got to say healing, healing, glory to God. You know, like one person said, you know, they got a report. They had a cancer report. and they had pain, and it would say cancer real loud. And then they would start off by saying healing. and then the more they said, then it went cancer, healing, cancer, healing. In other words, the healing word has to be louder. And then pretty soon, cancer, healing. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? So the healing word has to get louder in your ears than the pain that's screaming at you. And the pain will scream at you at times. I've been there. Sometimes I might have to add Advil to my pain with the word of God. It's okay to use medicine. There's nothing wrong with using medicine. There's no shame in your game if you use an Advil. Amen. Sometimes we might need that, and there's no shame. But eventually, try to get to a point where you don't have to use Advil. You know, work your way up where you don't have to be popping Advil every time you have a headache. Work your way up where you can start speaking to that pain, and you'll find that the Word of God will start working in your life. I like what it says in Romans 3 and 4. It says here, let God, it says here, surely not indeed, Romans 3 and 4, let God be true, but every man a liar. As is written, that you may be justified, this is talking about God, that God may be justified in God's words, and that God may overcome when he is judged. And so we see here, this is a powerful verse right here, saying that the things that we deal with in this life, the Bible actually says they're subject to change. So we live in a changing world. Things are changing all the time. Do you agree with me? And we're living in change, but God's word doesn't change. God's word is like a rock. It's immovable. And so God's word will change the changing things in this world. And he says here, let God be true and every man a liar. In other words, you could say it this way, let God be true and every symptom that you're dealing with be a lie in your life. Let God be true, and whatever the shortfall in your bank account, let that be a lie. In other words, allow God's word to be true over the natural circumstances that you're dealing with. Amen. Somebody say, I'm growing in Christ. Somebody say, I'm getting more healthier. So you need to start allowing your words to dictate your future. Amen. I love that. So the first key is that you have to make God's word the final authority, or put God first place, God's word first place in your life. Number two, you must be convinced it's God's will for you to be healed or walk in health. This is important because there's teachings in the body of Christ that will tell you that God allows sickness sometimes. And God will take sickness away, but it's all in God's plan. Sickness can be in God's plan, but I would have to disagree with that thought and that type of teaching. And they get that through what Paul talked about, that when Paul had a revelation, this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had revelations of Jesus, but he had a demonic force attacking him. And then Paul sought God three times for this demonic force to leave him. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness, I am made strong. And so what some denomination will say, well, that weakness, you can translate that to infirmities. So he's saying, in your sickness, you're made strong. But I disagree with that. And you can study this out, because he says, actually, that through weaknesses, through distresses, he talks about how the devil attacked him. And we know the devil attacked Paul in different ways, through distresses, through people coming against him, through these natural circumstances. And if you live godly in Christ, you're not going to escape people coming against you. Amen. And so the devil would come and try to come against Paul in different ways, try to set up riots against Paul. And really, that was the thorn. You know, he said that God gave him a thorn in the flesh, And some denominations say, well, that thorn is sickness. I disagree with that. And because God doesn't put sickness on people to teach them something. It's the devil that puts sickness on people. Amen. And so I'm going to say this, that you must be convinced that it's God's will for you to be healed. Why? Because Jesus never denied anybody of healing in the Gospels. If Jesus denied one person of healing, then you could say maybe it's God's will for you to be sick. But Jesus never denied anybody of healing. In other words, Jesus healed everybody in the Gospels that wanted to be healed. And if Jesus healed everybody in the Gospels that wanted to be healed, then you can bet your bottom dollar it's God's will for you to be healed. See, when Jesus came to that leper in Matthew 8, 1 and 3, and he came to the leper, and the leper worshiped Jesus in Matthew 1 through 3. He worshiped Jesus. Listen, this was the key to the leper's healing. The first thing he did was worship Jesus. If you want to see healing in your life, start worshiping Jesus. If you want to see blessing in your life, start worshiping Jesus. The first thing he did was worship Jesus. How many worshipers do we have in the house today? Amen. And so he worshiped him and he said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. So we see here that Jesus was willing for this leper, no matter how he lived his life in the past, no matter what mistakes he may have made, maybe he didn't was a great person. Maybe he had a lot of mistakes. But it doesn't matter how many mistakes that you have. I'm going to say that again. It doesn't matter how bad your past was. God's mercy is greater. I'm going to say that again. God's mercy is greater than your past mistakes. And Jesus said, I am willing for you to be healed. We know it's God's will for you to be healed because Jesus talks about the devil and his job title in John 10:10. And it says it this way, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and to destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we see here that it's very obvious that Jesus comes to give us life and life more abundantly, and abundant life has no sickness in it. Would you agree with me there? I believe that. And the devil's job description is to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we know that the devil, he specializes in putting sickness on people. Is that right? Remember that that there was a man in the church in the Corinthian church that was doing some wrong things, and he was having some sexual sins in the church. And then Paul said that this man needed to be kicked out of the church because he was doing wrong things and he wasn't repenting. And then Paul said that I release Satan to destroy his flesh. He didn't release God. He released Satan. Think about that. It wasn't God that put sickness. It's Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he prayed a prayer that Satan would be loosed on him, not God. Why? Because Satan is the author of sickness. Is that right? In the book of Job, who was it that put sickness on Job? Was it God? It was Satan. Why? Because there's no sickness in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. My next point is that we know it's God's will to heal because it's in the Lord's Prayer. And in the Lord's Prayer, there's a part of the prayer that says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so when you think about this as part of the Lord's Prayer, what is God's will in heaven? What is his will? It's easy. There's no sick people in heaven. Now, some people say, well, you know, you'll get healed when you get to heaven. No, you can get healed today. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to get healed. Some people in some religious circles will say, well, when you get to heaven, then you will be healed. You don't need healing when you get to heaven. Amen. You need healing down here. And so that's the reason why he said, pray that it will be down here like it is in heaven. Pray that you will have, heaven is prosperous. Pray that you have prosperity down here. Heaven is healthy. There's no sick people. Pray that you be healed down here. Why would Jesus say, pray that it would be down here as it is in heaven? Because the devil is trying to work against us to keep it heaven from coming down here on earth. Somebody say, days of heaven on earth. And that's what I want to be living. Days of heaven on earth. So God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will in heaven is like it to be down here on earth. Amen? And so I love that. So we know that's God's will to heal. Amen. And we know this, and we know that Jesus always has a desire to heal. And I love this in John 14, 7, 11. It says, because we know this, that Jesus' will to heal, because Jesus never acted independently of his Father. I'm going to say this again. Jesus never acted in. Some people say, well, Jesus healed everybody, but that doesn't mean that God the Father, that God the Father wants to heal everybody. Maybe it's just Jesus in the scriptures, but what about God the Father? He's God the Father. But Jesus said, if you see God, if you see the Father, you see the Father in me. So I love this because in John 14, 7, 11, it says here they were asking to see the Father, and Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known the Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and is it sufficient for us? And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? And he who's seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. So we see here that we know it's God's will for you to be healed because Jesus walked in the Father's will. And because Jesus walked in the Father's will, if you see Jesus and his actions in the Gospels is God in action. So whatever you see Jesus do, that's what God the Father would do. If I'm getting this across to you this morning. So you got to believe that Jesus' will and the Father's will is the same, and healing is for all. Amen? If you're going to see healing in your life, you must believe that you're already healed by faith because Jesus paid the price. This is something very hard on us, and it's not easy to believe something when you're already dealing with something. I'm going to say that again. It's very difficult to believe you have something when you're dealing with something that's adversely against what you're believing God for. But you have to believe that you have it now, and you have to put your faith in the now. You see, you know, the Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That word substance, think about this. That word substance means title deed. In other words, when you, some of you own your house, amen? And some of you will be owning your house pretty soon. And you're going to get a title deed to your house. That's a certificate that says you own your house. Well, the Bible is your title deed to your healing. The Word of God, it's a title deed. That means it's a confirmation that you're healed. Now faith is. So you got to put your faith in the now, that faith is in the now. I like what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins on his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, when you look at this, were, is that past tense, present tense, or future tense? It's past tense, were. It's past tense. If you guys are familiar with English, it's past tense. And this lady that was in Brother Hagin's meeting, she was in a wheelchair, and he would pray for people and see people being healed. And he said that it was a tangible anointing on him. But when Brother Hagin got tired, the anointing would lift. And so all he could do, he had this one lady that he was praying for. And he said to the lady that was in the wheelchair, "Do you know you're already healed?" And she's sitting in the wheelchair. She said, "Well, that's news for me. I'm in the wheelchair." And he said, "Well, the Bible says you're already healed." And she says, "Where does it say that?" And it's in the scripture of 1 Peter 2:24. He had her read that. "By Jesus' stripes, you were healed." And he said, "Since you were healed, then you are healed. And why don't you start praising God for your healing?" And so wasn't walking in the fullness of the anointing, but she started worshiping and praising God, thanking God, not that she's trying to get her healing, but she started praising God that she was healed. As she lifted up her hands and started praising God, "Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, by your stripes I was healed. Thank you, Lord." Then the Holy Spirit told Brother Hagin to tell her to stand up. And she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't stand up. But when he got the word from the Lord, "Stand up," she stood up. And she ended up running around the church. She got healed on the word "were." I'm going to say this. Whatever word that God gives you, in other words, you got to get to a point in your life where you're not trying to strive for your healing, but that you're walking in your healing, that you're walking in faith, and faith is always in the now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith has to be now. Say, faith is now. Then this is another key. In faith being now, you have to learn to enter into the rest of the Lord. If you're going to walk in healing, you can't be agitated, upset. You can't be vexed with what you're dealing with. You have to learn to walk in the rest of the Lord. And in Hebrews 4:1-3, the problem with the Israelites was because they could not enter into the rest of the Lord, as it says in Hebrews 4:1-3. It's because they couldn't mix faith with the Word of God. They wouldn't believe God's Word. Somebody say, "I believe God's Word." See, you got to get to the point where you believe God's Word over what you're dealing with. You got to get to a point where you have to believe that God's Word is more powerful and that the truth of His Word is more powerful than the circumstance that we are dealing with. So you got to learn to rest in the Lord. You can't worry about what you're dealing with. "I wonder if I'm going to get healed." No, by faith you're already healed. "I wonder if these symptoms are going to leave my body." They're going to leave your body. You're getting stronger in God. See, Peter says in 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you." So you got to learn to cast your cares on the Lord. When I'm praying for people up here, the main thing I want people to do when they're standing up here, sometimes they're standing up here and they're praying and they're trying to get something. And I say, "Stop praying." They say, "What?" "Don't pray. Just learn to receive. Just relax. Don't try to get something. Learn to receive something." Amen. Relax. If you just relax, God can give it to you. If you can learn to cast your cares on the Lord, He can give it to you. When Jesus was on the cross, He was struggling in His humanity. He was struggling on the cross in some areas in the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me?" He was struggling on the cross in some areas of the cross, but finally He got to a point where He said to the Lord, "Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit." See, He got to the point where He relaxed on the cross. He allowed the cross to do its work. He relaxed on it, on the cross, and he said, into thy hands. Sometimes I think we need to be saying, when we get bad reports, Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit. In other words, I'm not going to take the care of this problem in my life. Amen? And I love that. And this is another key. If you're going to walk in the fullness of healing in your life, you must have faith in God's love for you. Now, this is a powerful key here. And a lot of people focus on loving God. I got to love God. I got to love God. But do you focus on how much God loves you? Have you ever focused on how much God loves you? Somebody say, God loves me. Amen. And I love what it says in Romans 8, 31, 32. It says, what then shall we say these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him for us all, shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Glory to God. And then in 8:37, yet all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Notice this, that you become a conqueror. I'm going somewhere this morning. You become a conqueror when you realize how much God loves you. That's not how much you love him. Lord, I'm giving you everything I got. I'm sacrificing everything for you. That's great. We want to be sacrificial in our love towards God. But we got to get a revelation of how much God loves us. Somebody say, God loves me. See, I love that because there were 12 apostles of the Lamb. Do you know 11 of them died martyr deaths? But there was the 12th man, John. He was the only one that did not die a martyr's death. Traditions say they tried to boil him in oil, but they could not kill him. And this is interesting that John would use the phrase, the disciple who Jesus loved. And he would use that phrase six times in the book of John. I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. He mentioned that over and over again. In one time where at the Last Supper, John was leaning on Jesus' bosom. And he said, I am the disciple that Jesus loved. And that's when Peter said, hey, ask Jesus who's going to betray you. See, when you get the revelation of God's love for you, God reveals his secrets to you. I'm going somewhere this morning. When you get a revelation of how much God loves you, God reveals secrets to you. Amen? See, when you get that revelation that God loves you, you will always be close to Jesus. You see, here in John 19, 26, 27, John is at the cross. I don't know how many other disciples were at the cross, but John was there. And Jesus' mother was at the cross with John. And Jesus is up on the cross. And John says again, I'm the disciple that Jesus loves. And Jesus looked down at John and he said to John, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, John took her in to take care of her. And so we see here that Jesus, the love that John, that Jesus had love for him was so great that Jesus loved him so much more back, where he had the responsibility to take care of his mother. Now, this is interesting that the love of God will always keep us. When we get in a revelation of God loving us, will always keep us close to God. Amen. When the disciples were fishing, and this was after Jesus was resurrected, Jesus was on the beach cooking a breakfast, and Jesus says to the disciples, launch your nets out to get a haul. The only disciple that recognized Jesus on the beach was John. Again, John is the one that said Jesus is the one that loves him the most. And John said, that's Jesus on the beach. What am I saying to you? When you get a revelation of how much God loves you, God reveals himself to you in so many different areas of your lives. Amen? So we got to get that revelation. If God loves you, it doesn't matter what's coming at you. If God loves you, it doesn't matter what you're dealing with, because God loves you. Number six, you need to take communion every day. If you're dealing with any kind of sickness in your body, start taking communion every day. Jesus is the bread of life. His blood washes and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But when we take communion, always be aware of your relationships with people and your relationships with God and your relationship with God. In other words, make sure you're walking in love. Make sure that you're not harboring any ill will or bitterness towards the body of Christ. And so as you check yourself in that area and you make sure you say, Lord, I love all those. I forgive all those. You do that before you take communion. Then you're taking communion in the right way. And when you do that, and you do that on a daily basis, healing can come into your bodies. Amen? Number seven, you need to take authority over negative thoughts. Because negative thoughts will try to come against us. And will try to tell us that we're never going to be healed like we want to be healed. So we got to make sure that we take authority over negative thoughts that are coming against us in different ways. Because God's power has the ability to heal your life. The Bible talks about that you got to take your thoughts captive in 2 Corinthians 10:4 and bring them into captivity to the Word of God. And the Word of God is always preeminent over wrong thoughts. Glory to God. Number eight, you got to put the armor of God on every day. Make sure you got the helmet of salvation. Make sure you got the breastplate of righteousness. Make sure you got your loins with truth. You shod your feet with the preparations of the gospel of peace. That you lift up your shield of faith and you have the sword of the word. And you continue to put that armor on and you move forward in the things of God. Number nine, you got to praise God. Amen. If you're going to see healing in your life, you might need to praise God more. Some of us aren't praising God like we need to. Sometimes we're complaining more than we're praising. And so I want to encourage you to start praising God and praise it. Like I said last week, you need to add praise to your confessions of faith and end with the name of Jesus. And you thank the Lord God. You praise Him. You worship Him, for He's bringing you out of those trouble situations. Amen. And number 10, you got to be open to God's wisdom. If there's areas that you need to change in your life, the Holy Spirit told me the other day as I was praying, revealed to me that I needed to be drinking more water. And so I like, okay. You have to always weigh it out. Is it the devil talking to you, or is it God talking to you, or is it the pizza last night? And so you got to weigh it out. So it just sounds logical to me. It must be God, because more water got to be more good. Amen. And I know that I'm not drinking a lot of water. I'm drinking a lot of coffee. And so I know that. So what am I saying? That could be a key to your healing. Could be something as simple as drinking more water. It could be something natural to heal something that you're dealing with. Number 11, you got to get a vision of healing. You know, I talk to people and I'm, about trying to get fit, trying to get in shape. And I say, do you have a vision? Are you looking at anything? I remember when I got in the best shape of my life, I would always be studying health and fitness. I'd be reading magazines, looking at people that are in shape. And I would do this almost every day. I was totally focused. In other words, you got to be relentless in your vision of being healthy. I heard one person that was sick, and they got pictures of what they used to look like before they got sick. And they started looking at those pictures, why they were believing God for healing. And they got a vision of healing. You got to get a vision of healing in your life. And number 12, you can't give up. You got to keep fighting. If you give up, you lose. You got to have a will to live. And I'm going to say this. A will to live is not half the battle. It's not 70% of battle. I would say a will to live is 90% of the battle. A desire to live. What some people do is they give up. They just give up. They say it's just way too hard. No, listen, Don't ever give up. Always keep fighting the fight of faith. Keep believing God until you see the manifestation of the promise. Never give up. And some of us are letting go. Oh, it's too hard to believe God. It's too hard to read my Bible. It's too hard to confess the Word of God. What's the alternative? Death. I think I want life. Now, you know, death is not a bad thing. And I'm telling you, you will step into glory. And there's some people that get tired of fighting. There's some people that say, I'm just tired of fighting. I've lived my life. And we're trying to believe them for healing. But they may not want it. We cannot want it more than they want it. We cannot want people's healing, their deliverance, their breakthrough more than they want it. Sometimes we want our children to have a breakthrough. We want our loved ones to have a breakthrough, but they're going to have to want it. We can't live their faith for them. We got to live our faith for ourselves. We got to be a leader and lead people into great faith by us standing on the Word of God and not giving up. And when people see your faith and they see the healing in your lives and they see the delivering power working in you, they're going to want to step up to where you're at. And you can't get it for them, but you can be somebody that they can look up to and say, I can get there if they got there. And I'm saying this to you this morning, that you guys are going higher in your health. You guys are going higher in every area of your lives as you stand on the Word of God and you don't quit. And you keep fighting the good fight of faith, you will obtain everything that God has for you. You believe that today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. Father, you love us more than we could ever love you. And we thank you that your love is shining through by your healing power. And I thank you, Father, for those that are in the audience, maybe dealing with issues in their bodies, maybe those watching online, and God wants you healed today. But the best thing that you can receive from Christ is salvation, because salvation is your entryway into the healing of every area of your lives. And maybe you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Today is the day of salvation. And I want to lead you in this simple prayer that will bring you into a relationship with God. Just say this and mean in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.